I want to invite you to turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Our text will be 1 through 11 this morning. But God has been dealing with me the last month on the word alignment. Alignment. And it's actually sparked a series. Pastor David and I are trying to find an appropriate series title for the next three messages I'm going to be giving to you, but I believe that the higher life is probably the most appropriate name for our series. So the series this morning that we'll begin is the higher life, and the message is your alignment from on high. Everyone say your alignment. The word alignment means to come in line with. It also means the act of being brought into agreement or cooperation. How many of you say that, well, my mother or my grandmother, they knew how to bring me into cooperation with what they wanted me to do, amen? Whether it be through a rod, I know that my grandmother, she's no longer with us, Gladys, and I stayed with Gladys a lot, and Gladys, some called her Big Mama, which, you know, for white folks, it's Big Mama's not, but she was Big Mama, amen? She was big, too, and you didn't want to mess with her. But I can remember my grandmother loved the Lord, but she was real. I mean, she was real. She went to church. When she got saved, my grandfather was an alcoholic, and she took my dad to church. But, you know, she loved the Lord, and she would sing, and she would go to church every week. But, I mean, if you crossed Big Mama, she would tell you what was going on. And she didn't care if it was in the church or whatever. I'll tell you a funny story about her. Since it is Mother's Day, I got to talk about Gladys a little bit. We put her in an assisted living facility. Now, she could drive and come and go as she wanted to the last 10 years she was alive. And there was a lady in this facility that she was thought to have beginning stages of Alzheimer's. Well, my grandmother didn't believe that she had Alzheimer's. So when we would go, she just thought this woman was mean. And she used that as an excuse to cuss and be ugly to people. So they were having choir practice because there was a pastor. They would have church choir practice at this assisted living facility. And my grandmother said, she said something to me, and my grandmother just told her off right there in choir practice and said she never forgot another thing when it came to me again. She set her straight, amen. But Gladys knew how to set you straight, and I was scared to death of her. But I tell you, she knew how to bring me in line with what she wanted me to do. And most mothers can. But let me tell you what a philosopher, a non-believing philosopher said. To attain inner peace, you must actually give your life, not just your possessions. When you at last give your life, bringing into alignment your beliefs and the way you live, then and only then can you begin to find inner peace. The word alignment, it's a global word used during times of peace and times of war. When a country, a smaller country, may align themselves with a larger, more powerful country for protection. It's also a medical word that's used in chiropractic. You know, when you need an alignment or an adjustment to be brought. So if you're having pain in your back, you'll need an adjustment. You'll need an alignment. It's a mechanical word. Now, I can't work on cars, obviously, by the insurmountable bill that we have on the BMW. But I have friends that know how to work. Dickie, who's come with me a few times, he works on cars. And I asked him a few weeks ago, I said, all right, tell me how to do an alignment because God's really dealing with me in the area of alignment. Of course, he rattled on about camber and a toe-in and all this different stuff that made no sense to a preacher. But what I did discover was that the camber is behind the wheel and it's positive or negative. It keeps that wheel in line. It's basically the way he explained it, but it's a mechanical word to be brought into alignment. But I want to read to you what Paul says. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, and Pastor David sang it, says to live in Christ, to live as Christ and to die as gain. If you think about that phrase, that is the perfect definition of alignment. And Paul, while chained to a Roman guard, imprisoned in Rome, he was chained to a guard 24 hours a day. He was chained to another person. And then the purpose of Philippians was that so that we could find joy. How could someone chained to a guard 24 hours a day in a Roman prison cell speak and pen the letter to the Philippian church that they may have joy? Unspeakable. And the interesting thing is alignment. I don't know about you, but I want to be in line with God. I want to be in line with God and His plan. And I know that this church, you want to be in line. You don't want to be too far on this side or too far. You want to be in line. And there's blessings that come from being in line with God. Now, when you're in alignment, when you've been brought into alignment or been brought into agreement with God, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect. Paul was talking about alignment. And although he was in prison, he was able to find joy. But see, the alignment doesn't come from outward circumstances. It's an inner joy. Are you with me? So this morning, it's your alignment from on high. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. Somebody say joy. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let us pray. Father God, I ask you to take this word. Father, I pray that you just send your joy angels this morning, that they may tickle everyone in this room. Father, that they may have happiness. Lord, that they may have peace. Lord, I pray that for those that are not in line with you and your plan for their life this morning, that they would be brought into a line with you and your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. First, I want to talk to you about some basic truths about alignment. Some basic truths about alignment. First, in every sense of the word, whether it's a global word, a mechanical word, or a medical word, the word alignment, to be brought into line with something, there must be a central focus. Everyone say central focus. And I explained it a little bit in medical. You know, everything, that engine, the gears that flow, that go to the ball joints, that go to the camber, there has to be a central focus, a central area of power. It is the same thing when it comes to the global world. And the spinal cord in medical world is used to be that central force, that central focus for the alignment. This morning, if you're depressed or you're lonely or you're misguided or you don't know whether you're going up or down, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ came to be your central focus. Your central focus. Everybody must have a central focus, a driving force, something that pushes them, something that grounds them, something that lines them up. Because if you don't have a central focus, friend, you'll be lopsided. You'll be inconsistent. And so your central focus needs to be Jesus Christ. He was the center of creation, first of all. The center of creation. John 8:58 says this, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. He was the center of creation. Let me tell you something, friends. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. He was there through it all. He was there in the Old Testament. He's there in the New Testament. He was risen, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He's here with us today. Amen. Jesus Christ was at the center of creation. He's the image of the invisible God. Revelation 1:18 says this, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and hell. Let me tell you something. He was at the center of creation. But he was also at the center of the crucifixion. You must understand this morning, if you are out of line, you don't know where you're going in life, you don't know what your plan is, what your future is, you have no hope, let me tell you something, you must understand that you need a central focus, and that central focus must be Jesus Christ. And to accept that, you must understand that He created you. He loved you, but also that at the creation of the world, He was in the middle of the creation. He was in God's eye. God knew, friend, that He was going to have a son that would fulfill all the Old Testament prophecy and all the Hebrew prophecy. Next, He was the center of the crucifixion. And finally, Revelation 7, verse 17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Someone say at the center. At the center. Central focus. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He was the center of creation. He was at the center of the crucifixion. He died for you this morning. He died and rose again, but he was at the center of the second. He'll be at the center of the second coming. He will come back, and friend, we won't, this old body that's dragging us down, we'll lose that, amen? And we'll meet him halfway, hallelujah. We'll miss all the turbulence that'll be going on down here, if those of us that have a central focus. I want to encourage you this morning, first of all, if you don't have a central focus, if you don't know who's your Savior, if you don't know who your daddy is, it's Jesus. He died for you. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. And if you don't know Jesus, friend, that needs to be your central focus. So first of all, if you want to be brought in line with God and His plan for your life and even His plan for this church, we must have a central focus. And another thing, every church, Jesus Christ, He must be at the center of your life, but every church, Jesus Christ, must be at the center of the church. He must be at the center. You know, we need to quit trying to be more like the world and start being more like Jesus. Amen. And I promise you, every bill at any church, whether it be Abbas House in Chattanooga or Truth Tabernacle here in Stone Mountain, every bill will be paid, every need will be met when Jesus Christ is at the center of what we're doing. He should be at the center of our worship. He should be at the center of our missions, of our outreach, of our youth program. Jesus should be the common thing, the central focus. And I want to encourage you this morning, if He's not at the center of your life, invite Him to be before you leave here this morning on Mother's Day. So first, you need a central focus. Next, a common faith. A common faith. The word common there is koinos, and that means shared by all or several. So by it, it's really uncommon, amen? It used to mean shared by all, but now it's become an uncommon thing because everybody believes so much different stuff, none of us are truly on the same page. Titus 1:4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 1:3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. The first thing you need is a central focus, but the next thing you need this morning is a common faith. You need something that you can share with someone else. See, that the idea that you can be saved and just go at this life alone, friend, that's a myth. That's a myth. You need to be able to share what God has put in your heart. You need to first have that central focus, which is Jesus, but next, you need to have that common faith, which is a faith that is shared by more than one person. You need to be able to share your faith and what God has done in your life and your beliefs and your prayers and your visions and your dreams. You need to have other believers that you can share those things with. Amen? So if the enemy has tempted you or dangled just going off on yourself and being a lone ranger, so to speak, rebuke that and understand that you need people. You need people and they need you. That leads me to my next thing. You need a central focus. You need a common faith. You need to be able to share Jesus with someone other than yourself. But next, you need to be a part of a committed family. A committed family. And friend, that's church. You see, in the New Testament, they didn't even consider you saved. They didn't even consider you a believer unless you were connected to a church. And that's fact. I will debate you on it. If you can find and prove to me any scripture that was not connected to a church, I'd like to see it. Because in the New Testament, friend, they went hand in hand. Salvation meant church membership. There was no divide between the two. When you got saved, you were a part of a body. And we've twisted it and said, well, everyone that believers is a part of a body, and that's true. But let me tell you something. You need to be a part of a local church. You need to be a covenant member that gives what they can, that loves, that prays, that knows what's going on. You need to have a central focus, and I pray that that'll be Jesus for you this morning. You need to have a common faith. You need to be able to share that with more than one person. But next, you need to be a part of a committed family. If you want to be brought into line with Jesus Christ, you need to be a part of a committed family. That's the local church. I am tired, sick to death, of people. In Chattanooga, we've had probably, over the last 6 or 7 years, we've had probably 20 people, solo artists, going to leave and start their own church. You know how many of them have survived? None. And it's not that God doesn't want to start and birth new things. But friend, if you leave your last place angry, gossiping, bitter, throwing stones at the place you left, friend, God's not going to bless your future. I hate to break it to you, but the best thing that we can all do is be under authority of the local church and be serving God and loving people, but be part of a committed family. Those are the basics of alignment. Next. This morning, I want to talk to you about the beauty of alignment. The beauty of alignment. Let me quickly give you a few things. Therefore, if there is any consolation, that word consolation means comfort or consolement, if in Christ, if any comfort of love, agape, that acting love, you know what that means. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. This is to the church. Fulfill my joy. Friend, if you don't have joy this morning, you may not be in line with God. Next, you may not be in line with the people around you. Next, you may not be in line or in agreement with a church. If you want your life aligned with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, you better be like-minded with the people around you and with the local church. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Quickly, just a few things I want to drop in your spirit this morning. To be in line with God is to be in fellowship with the people of God. Again, not just church attendance, not just a name on the roll. It's to encourage one another. Next, to be in line with God is to be in fellowship with His Spirit. To be in line with God is to be in fellowship with His Spirit. Let me tell you something. You need to be a part of a church. You need that center focus of Jesus. You need that common faith that you share with other people. You need to be a part of a committed family. But also, friend, if you're not in touch with the Spirit of the living God, friend, you're missing out. It's a threefold process, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You need to be in touch with the Spirit. You need to be spending time alone in your prayer closet, reading this Word. You need to be spending time with the Lord. Because you're not going to get everything that God wants to give you through my messages or through church attendance. There are some things that God wants to give to you in the secret place. There are things that God wants to speak to you about your children, about a number of things. And the only way you're going to get revelation from on high is to be alone with God. You need to spend that time alone with Him. Intimate time. You know, we hustle and bustle and we go from here to there, and sometimes the busyness gets in our way of just spending quiet, quality time with God. Amen. To be in line with God is to be in unity and in fellowship with God and His plan for your life. I was speaking to the University of Tennessee football team with my father about 2 months ago, and there were a lot of famous people there, football players, and it was kind of neat. But the one I remember the most that we prayed for that night was there was a young punter for the University of Tennessee. His dream, his whole life, had been to play football for the Vols. Now, why that would be your dream, I don't have a clue. But I'm not even a Vol fan. But his dream, he'd grown up in East Tennessee, and that's where I was raised, and that's big orange country. And his dream had been to play for the UT Vols. And he got a scholarship to be a punter. But you know, they've had some coaching changes, and he ended up getting cut from the team. And we were there, and this young man was broken. I mean, crying. I mean, and if you think about athletics, just about every athlete gets to that place in their life where what they've loved to do since the time they were a boy, they come to that place where they can't do it anymore. And that's a hard thing to go through, isn't it? But let me tell you something. I want to know what God's plan is for my life. And what we spoke into this young man was, this door's closed, but God wants to use you, my friend. God has a plan for your life. And it may not have been God's destiny or God's will for you to be a college football player. There may be other things that God wants you to do. There may be other things that God wants you to learn about and other passions that God wants to put in you at this stage of your life. How many of you agree with that? The worst thing that we can do when we want to be in line with God and be brought into alignment with God is to try and go about life for our own motives. To try to go at life doing what we want or what we think is best for us, when truthfully, friend, the goal should be to be in line with God's plan and His destiny for your life. Because if you're doing what you want, not what God wants, friend, He'll never bless it. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with business. But if you've tried this and that and the other thing and God hasn't blessed you and you haven't been successful at it, sure, there may be some practical things you can do to help improve that. But also, it may be that you're not in line with God's plan. So if you don't spend that secret time in the secret place with God and get revelation from His Holy Spirit, then you're not going to know what doors you should walk through. You're not going to know which direction you should go. You're not going to know the things you ought to say to that person that may not know Jesus. So I want to encourage you this morning. Get in line with Jesus. The beauty of alignment. The beauty of alignment. There's three benefits. First, fulfillment. Verse 2 said, "Fulfill my joy." Paul says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind." You see, you want to come to that place of fulfillment where you realize, friend, that life has meaning. And I believe once you've gotten that central focus, that's a start. But there's a time that everyone comes to in their life where they understand that life has purpose and that life has meaning. And that life matters. And that God didn't just put us here to die and meet up with Him in heaven one day. There is a purpose here on this earth for each individual. And our job as believers, as Christ followers, is to find that purpose and to be in line with God's plan and in the direction that He has for us. You say, was it God's plan for Paul to be imprisoned in Rome, chained to a guard 24 hours a day? Friend, I believe it was. Because while he was in prison and in misery, he was penning three-fourths of the New Testament. You say, "Well, Lord, if I don't want to be in line with God, if that's what my destiny looks like," I'm going to tell you something. The joy that Paul had and the knowledge that he had in his spirit will get you through so much more than money, than a good job, than a good family, than even a good church. Paul knew deep down that the living God lived in him. And there are things, friend, that are more important than just a casual, go-through, joyous life. And I tell you, when you ask God, when you ask to be in line with God, when you ask to be in line with your destiny, it may not be an easy road, friend. You may not want to, because let me tell you something, you have to die to yourself completely. And you may have to go some places that you don't want to go. You may have to do some things that you don't want to do. You may have to say some things you don't want to say. You may get talked about. You may get stuff thrown at you. Your family may be attacked. Your friends may be attacked. You don't know what you're up against. But I'm going to tell you something. The one positive thing about it is that you have Jesus on your side, my friend, and He will never leave you or forsake you. He'll be inside of you. He'll be fighting the battles for you. And at the end, you're going to win. Hallelujah. You're going to win. Oh, and there's a reward for you too in heaven. You may not have all the rewards on earth. You may not have all the money on earth. But friend, if you're in line with God and you're in alignment, you've been brought into alignment from on high, let me tell you something. You get to heaven, the person that drove the Hummer and that had the $1 million house, they may not get a reward. They may get in by the skin of their teeth. But you may have been chained to a guard 24 hours a day and been forgiven of much. But let me tell you something. There may be a crown waiting on you because you died to yourself and you picked up that cross and you followed Jesus. But you got to want it. The worst thing we can do and the worst thing that I can do, it even my passion for evangelism, is to go and act like you can just pray a prayer and life's over and life's going to be great. Let me tell you something. If you're truly going to follow Jesus Christ this morning, you're going to have a price to pay. It's not going to be easy. You're going to go through hurts. People are going to hurt you. But you aren't going to fit in with everybody. You're not going to fit in with the world. People always look at you funny. They'll always question you. They'll always wait for you to fall or make a mistake. But you have the joy inside you, that joy that Paul talks about. There's a joy that comes from being in line with Jesus Christ. So the first thing is fulfillment. Fulfillment. The next we've spent months on is freedom. Freedom. You have freedom. You see, if you get your car aligned, I mean, if you're wobbling all over the road, you don't feel too secure driving down, going about 80 on the highway, do you? I don't speed. Kelly speeds, but I don't drive that fast. She's the only one that's gotten a ticket on the way down here this year. But you don't feel secure if your car is out of line, do you? I mean, you take your off the road, you're... But let me tell you something, there's a freedom that comes from being in alignment. There's a freedom that comes from being in line with God too. Freedom to live. Freedom to give. Freedom to love. Let me tell you something, if a Christian believer gives, they don't give scared to death. Those of you that tithe faithfully month after month, you know that you're not scared to give. Because God makes up for it, doesn't He? God blesses you twofold, hundredfold. God takes care of you, doesn't He? The people who give know they have a level of freedom because they know when they give, they're not giving to a man, they're not giving to a church, they're giving to God. And they know that if they give in that spirit, God's going to bless them. So there's a freedom to give, but friend, there's a freedom to live. People believe that if they aren't saved or if they're not a Christian, that if they, man, if I get saved, my life's just going to be boring. I mean, you can't do anything fun. I mean, those commandments and all that other stuff, man, that rules out all the fun, doesn't it? But the truth is there is a freedom from being set free from having a central focus of Jesus Christ. There's a freedom that comes to where I don't have to live every day wondering when I'm going to die, how I'm going to die, and what's going to happen. Because, friend, I know that my life's going to last forever, that I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. I know that my family that knows Jesus, I get to see them again if they die. So we don't have to live. We have the freedom that the world doesn't. They're living for today. We're living for eternity. Hallelujah. The beauty of alignment is fulfillment. It's freedom. But it's also fullness. Fullness. You see, it's one thing to get full, but it's another thing to stay full. How many of you would like to just stay full? You know, when you get saved, you get full. But then you walk out of that church or out of that environment, and sometimes people feel empty all over again. Slowly but surely, that emptiness and that heaviness comes. But I tell you, I want to stay full. Hallelujah. And when you believe in the Holy Spirit and all the gifts, let me tell you something. You can stay full, friend. It's not just a sinner's prayer. It's not just a four steps to salvation or an evangel cube. Let me tell you what it is. You can stay full on Jesus. You can talk to Him. You can walk with Him. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He'll get you through hard times. When you lose family, when you lose loved ones, when you're depressed. Let me tell you something. When you stay full, He's with you at all times. And that's what I want. That's what I want for this church. I don't want you just to get full on Sunday mornings. I want you to stay full. I want you to be full tomorrow at work or school. I want you to be full tomorrow when you're out in the community. I want you to stay full. I want you to be full of the Holy Ghost when you're around your family. I don't mean crazy. I just mean full. You see, we've equated being filled with the Holy Spirit as being crazy all the time. No, I just mean having joy all the time, having peace all the time. Living for Jesus, letting your grandkids and your kids know that you love Jesus. You don't have to hit them with this Bible. You just love them and show them that Jesus lives within you. Amen. Fulfillment, freedom, and fullness. That's the beauty of alignment. The beauty of alignment. Next, the benefits of alignment. I wish I could tell you that coming into alignment with God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, would somehow you could live painless, like you'd never have to go through anything. But I believe that you're going to have some trials and tribulations. But I do believe it means less pain. I don't believe it means painless, but I believe it means less pain. I really do. Because I believe that the other people that were imprisoned in Rome with Paul, I believe he was in less pain than they were. I believe anyone that knows Jesus Christ and knows Him in a deep way will have less pain than their counterpart that does not know Jesus Christ. I've seen some people that have Jesus living on the inside of them that have walked through some storms, walked through some fires that I can only imagine. I mean, imagine burying your children when they're young. Imagine losing someone that you love. Imagine some of you mothers losing your kid at a very young age. I've seen mothers walk through that. How does a mother get through something like that? It's because they have Jesus living on the inside of them. It's because they know that life doesn't end with a 6-foot hole in the ground. They have something and someone that lives on the inside of them that will get them through when nobody else can. The first benefit is completion. Is completion. And let me just list some phrases for you quickly. Joy. If we come back to one word this morning, joy. Joy. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Do you have joy this morning? I mean real joy. I mean, are you hurting this morning or do you need some joy? Let's just say joy together this morning. 1, 2, 3, joy! Joy. Spirit. The force and the motivation to get up and go on. When you have the Holy Spirit working and moving in your life, friend, there is an extra level. It's the get up and go. There is something that gets you up. There's something that keeps you moving. There's something that keeps you going. Love. We know what that means. Not self-seeking. Acts. It acts. Fellowships to share in common. It means an intimate partnership. You look at the first few verses. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having again same love, one accord, one mind. The complete picture is joy. It's the Spirit. It's love. It's fellowship. It's mercy. Mercy means you deserve the worst, but you get pardoned. Affection. It mentions affection. That's the feel of angels around. It's that love that comes from a place that you can't see and that you can't describe. And if you have a central focus, if you share a common faith, let me tell you something. That means that you know at your worst you can feel loved. You can feel those arms wrapping around you, and you can know that God's on the throne and that He's loves you and that He died for you as an individual. Like-minded, that means unity with other believers. We've talked about that. And then his phrase that we used in Galatians 2, he says, in Christ. In Christ. That's the complete picture. When we think of Christ, we think of His humbleness. He was His humility. He was humble, wasn't He? Jesus Christ was humble. But He was heroic because He went to that cross and He got up from the grave on the third day. But, and we'll get to this in just a moment, but He was humble. He's heroic. But let me tell you something else. He was highly exalted. Highly exalted. He's high and lifted up. He's higher than all your problems. He's higher than all your mess. He's higher than everything going on around us. He is high and lifted up. Completion. Philippians 1:6 says, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The first benefit of being brought into alignment, the first benefit of alignment is completion. That means that if God has started something in you, friend, I don't care what age you are, if He has begun a good work in you, He's going to complete it. Let me tell you something. If God has promised you something, if He has birthed something in you, if you have seen something in your spirit, then let me encourage you this morning, He will finish what He started. Jesus will never leave a job half done, partially done. Jesus finishes the job, just like He did at Calvary, just like He will in the second coming. Jesus doesn't leave us hanging, amen? Jesus completes and is the complete picture. Next, it's a continuation. It's a continuation. You think of Paul, how God has used, how He chose Paul on Damascus Road, and how He used him and used him and used him. And think of the continuation. We're sitting here on Mother's Day, 2010, reading from the letter that Paul wrote while imprisoned in Rome. Let me tell you something. He has begun a good work in you. He's going to complete it. But let me tell you something. It's going to continue on. You know, I heard a phrase, everybody needs something to love, something to give, and something to leave behind. Let me tell you something. There are many of you that are going to leave a legacy to your children and your grandchildren. A legacy of love, a legacy of a faithfulness to Jesus Christ. You don't know it now, but let me tell you something. If God started that good work, He's going to complete that good work. But let me tell you something else. He's going to continue that good work. He's going to continue it through your children. He's going to continue it through this church. Let me tell you something. If He has started a good work here in this church, He's going to finish the job, amen. He's going to continue it on, and there ain't nothing the enemy can do about it, because Jesus Christ never leaves us in a shortage, amen. Finally, confidence. To be in line, it speaks to completion, continuation, but also confidence. Verse 11, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Of God, to the glory of God the Father. Isaiah 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I'm not going to preach you through Isaiah 6 this morning, but let me tell you something. Uzziah was a revered leader, but let me tell you something. Sometimes when people die that we love and that we respect, and or when people leave that we love and we respect, it's the ushering in of a new generation. It means that God is about to shake something, do something new, and that there is a new thing that is beginning to happen. So I want to encourage you this morning to understand that my God reigns, that He is high and lifted up. He is high and lifted up. If you're hurting this morning, I want to tell you to look up. Look on high. Because your alignment comes from on high. And He is high and lifted up. And He loves you. And He's got a plan for you. But if you are not willing to be brought in line with God, then there's also a penalty for that. I don't want to scare you into heaven this morning. But let me tell you something. Your alignment comes from on high. But if you refuse to be brought in line with God and His destiny for your life, you will have hell on earth and you will have hell in eternity. There's nothing worse than being outside of the will of God. And if you're outside of the will of God, if you're anxious, if you're depressed, if you don't know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus, friend, I want to encourage you to ask Jesus into your heart this morning. Make Him Lord of your life. But you say, Pastor Ronnie, I know I'm saved, but I feel like I've gotten off track. I feel like at one time I was in line with God and I'd been aligned, but now I feel like I'm out of line. Friend, if you'll go to the Holy Spirit this morning, He'll bring you back into alignment. All of us Christians get out of alignment, but the beauty is we can be brought back into alignment. Bow your head and close your eyes this morning.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.